Been working together for the last few weeks on what for many of us has been the most challenging campaign that we've ever done. There have been other campaigns that were encouraging and others that were discipleship or educational, informative. This one for me, and what I've heard from some of you, this one has been one of the most personally challenging. And just so you know, I love you. I'm not going to let up this morning. This morning, we're going to talk about what may be the most difficult part of the whole campaign, the whole challenge for some of us. We need to talk this morning about the fact that mercy is patient with difficult people. We've already talked about mercy a great deal. We talked about the fact that mercy forgives the fallen. And then we talked about mercy helps the hurting. And now this morning, mercy is difficult. Mercy is difficult. Mercy is patient with difficult people. If we're going to get into this, let's think a minute on what is patience anyway. When we use that term, what are we talking about? I kind of see patience in two different ways. I think we use the word in two different ways. One, I think patience is kind of what we were talking to the kids about. Patience is that calm waiting. Notice the calm waiting. And when I think of that kind of patience, I remember two or three old TV commercials. Do you remember these? One was for ketchup. They'd pour the ketchup bottle over, and nothing would happen. You remember? And then you just wait and wait. The idea is our ketchup is so good, it's worth the wait. And they sit there with the bottle. That was the whole commercial, a bottle upside down with nothing happening. And then in the background, they'd play anticipation. Remember? And then I remember another commercial for a department store. They were going to have a big sale, and lady couldn't wait for that sale. So she got there hours before it opened. You remember? She's at the front door. Open, open, open. Yeah. And then maybe my favorite, I remember a commercial for Disney World. And that little boy is trying to go to sleep the night before, and he just can't go to sleep. They say, go to sleep, go to sleep. He says, but I'm too excited to sleep. That patience is so hard. We get excited about something coming, either something good or something bad. We know it's coming, and we get so excited. We just want it to happen now, and patience can be very, very difficult. I think that's one way that we use that word patience, but there's another way that we use the word patience. And that is not necessarily a calm waiting as much as it is a loving tolerance. Now, when I use the word tolerance today, I want you to know I'm not using it the way the world's media uses that word. You know, the word tolerance has been redefined in the last couple of decades. Now, tolerance is supposed to mean there's no absolute truth, there's no right or wrong, you believe whatever you want, and I'm okay with it. That's not how I'm using the word. I'm using the word in the sense that it was originally intended, and that is the ability to tolerate, to endure, to be patient with someone who's different than I am. That's the patience that I want us to think about this morning. And it's challenging. A mechanic one time said that patience is the ability to idle your motor when you feel like stripping your gears. I think he probably got it right, huh? Patience is tough. The poet says, patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman and never in a man. Patience is tough for all of us. And so this morning, we're going to pause for just a minute. and see that if I'm patient with difficult people, it is an act of mercy. I get to be involved in a holy moment when the miracle of mercy takes place when I'm patient with difficult people. To help us with that, I want to challenge you to look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 at verse 14. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, that's where we're going to head now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 at verse 14. Paul is talking to the church, and he's teaching the church how to do church. He's teaching the church how to treat one another. And sometimes we have to have those lessons because the church is made up of all kind of different people who come from all kind of different backgrounds. They were raised in all kind of different families, and we all come with different personalities and different perspectives and different priorities, and somehow we're supposed to take all those personalities and priorities and differences, and we're supposed to make it work like a family. And that's a challenge. And so Paul helps us with it by explaining to the church in 1 Thessalonians how to make all that work. And in the midst of that conversation, he says, "And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, those who bring dissension, who turn people against each other, who cause disunity, admonish them. Stand up to them. Deal with that issue. Don't let that happen." So he says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted." The faint-hearted, those who start out strong, but then very, very quickly kind of lose their steam in faith. They kind of burn out quickly. They get tired. They get busy. They get distracted. Encourage them to keep at it. And then it says to help the weak. Those in the church who are not spiritually as strong or as mature need our assistance in the journey. And so we help the weak. And then you see what he says? Be patient. But this time he adds a phrase that he has not added in the other instances. He says, be patient with all men. Now, ladies, you're not off the hook. When he says men, he means people. Be patient with everyone. He was talking about how we interact with one another in the church, but then he says, be patient with everyone. Man, I don't like that last word, to be honest with you. Of course, it doesn't matter what I like. God wrote it, and so it's Holy Scripture. But I don't like that last. I want him to say, be patient with the people you like. Be patient with the people who like the stuff you like. Be patient with the people who like the songs that you like on Sunday morning. Be patient with the people who smell like you smell. Be patient with the people who vote like you vote. But golly, he said, be patient with everyone. And there is the challenge, isn't it? To learn to be lovingly tolerant of everyone. I have a friend who is involved in a ministry in his church. In that ministry, he works with some very difficult people. They have different personalities. They have different struggles. He calls those people EGRs. He said, I got to go meet with my EGRs. You know, we're working on stuff with my EGRs. I said, what is that? He says, it stands for extra grace required. Do you know some EGRs? I'll give you a hint. If you don't know any, you probably everybody else's EGR. Extra grace required with some folk. That's mercy. Yeah, they rub you the wrong way. Yes, they're irritating. Yes, they don't have a clue what's really funny, and their sense of humor is strange. Yes, they talk weird. Extra grace is required. It's mercy. Paul says, you can do this. Be patient with everyone. You know, I think there are two reasons in particular that we need patience with one another. One is that we're all sinful. Because we're all sinful, we need patience with one another. In other words, because we're sinful, I know that you're going to hurt me at some point. I just know that. It may not be intentional, but because you're a sinful person, you're either going to intend or you're going to make a mistake and you're going to hurt me. And by the way, it's going to work the other way too. I'm going to hurt your feelings at some point. Just be ready. Because I'm sinful. And it could be that you get your feelings hurt too easy because you're sinful. We're sinful people. It's going to be that way until Jesus comes back and changes the world. So one of the reasons that we need to be patient with one another is that we're sinful people. Another reason that we need to be patient with each other is because we're different people. It's not sinful necessarily to be different. Part of it is that we're just messed up people, so we're gonna hurt each other. The other part is we're just different. You see the world differently than I do. That's okay. You use language differently than I do. Your priorities are different. That's okay. Remember, Paul talked about the church being the body. And in that great description, as he talked about the church being the body of Christ, he said, you know, it doesn't do any good for the eye to say that to the ear, hey, I'm an eye, you're just an ear, you're no good. And then where would the body be without any hearing? The eye needs to honor the ear, and the ear needs to honor the nose, and the nose needs to honor the... I don't get myself in trouble if I'm not careful. You know, we're all different. And we're supposed to be different. And it is actually those differences that make up a strong body. Imagine if we all had to be exactly the same person to be in a church. My goodness, what a boring place to be. And what an ineffective place to be. So we need to be patient with one another because we're all sinful and because we're all different. And so with that in mind, let me share with you three things that we need in order to develop patience with difficult people. You need three things. You need a lot of things, but at least these three. In order to develop patience with difficult people. The first thing we need is we need wisdom. Now, by that I mean understanding. I can be more patient with you if I take the time to get to know you, to understand you. I understand how your education influenced you, how your how the way you were raised influenced you. I take time to get to understand what's important to you and what you enjoy. And as I begin to understand you, I have a basis on which to be more patient with you. And that also means that I need to drop the wall between us a little bit, take off my mask, and allow you to get to know me as well. So then you can be more patient with me. One of the things that we need to be patient with one another, to be patient with difficult people especially, we need wisdom, the ability to understand them. In Proverbs 14 and 29, it says, whoever is patient has great understanding. But one who is quick-tempered displays folly. You know what folly means? Foolish. If we are patient, we gain understanding. We get to know one another. We understand why the difficult person is different than us. Why they rub us the wrong way. Maybe because of them, or it may be something in me. But that understanding shows wisdom. When we're just quick to get angry, see that? One who is quick-tempered displays folly. When we're just quick to get angry, we don't have any patience with other people who are not like us. Bible says we're acting foolishly. A fool doesn't take time to get to know the difficult people and understand them. So the first thing that we need in order to be patient with difficult people is that we need wisdom, understanding. The second thing that we need is love. If we're going to be patient with difficult people, we need love. Now, when I say love, understand, I'm not talking about an ooey-gooey warm feeling. Love has very little to do with emotions. We had the opportunity to talk about this yesterday as we celebrated a renewal of vows, a kind of a wedding ceremony. And we talked about the fact that love really is not much about emotions and feelings. It's really about a commitment. Love is a sacrificial commitment to the well-being of another. Love is saying, I will sacrifice, I'll do what I need to do to make sure that your well-being is cared for. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get out of myself and care about you. That's what love really is all about, isn't it? And so when we say we need love to be patient with difficult people, that's because I'm no longer thinking about me, so I don't notice the fact that you rub me the wrong way. Now I'm thinking about you instead of me, and because I choose to love you, I want what's best for you. In 1 Corinthians 13, we have that great love chapter. You know, it defines love for us there in quite a few verses. You've read it before. You've heard it before. Every wedding you've ever been to either read it or printed it on their little bulletin. Did you ever notice the very first word in a definition of biblical love? Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. We get that. But where does it begin? Love is patient. You see, if I choose to love you, then I'm taking the focus off of me, and so I'm really not quite as bothered by you as I used to be. Now I'm actually concerned about you and your well-being. It's easy to claim to love, but what matters is what we do about it. So Ephesians chapter 4 reminds us, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Do you hear what a great challenge that is? You have received abundant and eternal life if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. If you've accepted Christ, you've received an abundant and an eternal life. Now, with that great gift for you, walk in a way that demonstrates you're worthy of that gift. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Bearing is to carry a burden. It's to walk with someone and say, let me have half of your burden and let's go together. You see, we need love in order to be patient with those difficult people. Love says that even if we don't agree or don't understand where another person's coming from or why they do what they do, we can still live together and work together. It's no wonder that Paul wrote that to the church. You don't have to understand each other or even agree to live together and work together. We need wisdom. We need love. We also need, I guess, what we might call spiritual vitality. You might just call it spiritual maturity. Another way to say it is we need to be growing spiritually in order to be able to show mercy to difficult people. We need to be growing spiritually. What do I mean there? Do you remember the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5? In the fruit of the Spirit, Paul says that when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, has full reign in your life, not that you buy the doctrine, not that you understand the words, not that you understand the way that we do things, but when the Holy Spirit of God actually has full reign of your life, there are certain things that will begin to appear in your character. That's what he means by the fruit of the Spirit. What shows up on the outside? How do you know an apple tree is an apple tree? Because it's got apples. How do you know a believer is a believer? Because he or she shows the fruit of the Spirit inside. So when the Holy Spirit of God has full reign over your life, this fruit will begin to appear. And what does this fruit look like? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So in other words, when he's in charge and I'm not, I am more patient. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So if I'm going to be able to be patient with difficult people, one of the things that has to happen there is I have to be growing in my relationship with Him so the Holy Spirit has full reign in my life. As a matter of fact, I would even go so far as to say this to you. If you cannot find it within your person to be patient, that might be a red flag for you to say, I took back the throne and the Holy Spirit is not in charge. That's a hard thing to say. It's a hard thing to hear. Patience becomes a part of my being when the Holy Spirit is within me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God, and God is patient. How do we know God is patient? Because you showed up this morning. That means He's been patient with you, forgiving, loving, providing, giving you opportunity. If God is patient and God is in me, I then will become patient. Patient. When we have no patience with difficult people around us, it points to either a lack of understanding, a lack of love, or a lack of spiritual vitality. As we grow closer to the Lord, we develop within us wisdom, love, and spiritual vitality that allows us to be more patient, even with difficult people. Father, we want to thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for being patient with us. Lord, we pray that when those folks just irritate us, when people around us just annoy us, help us, Lord, to be the people You've called us to be. To live and walk in a way that is worthy of our calling. May the Holy Spirit fill each believer to such a degree that we become more like Jesus even before we leave this room. And Father, if there is one in the room who has not yet accepted Christ, I pray that you'd speak to that heart in a powerful way, even now at this moment, that you would bring them to yourself, open their hearts and minds, that they too might be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We pray it for your glory and in Jesus' name.